Europe.
Charlemagne. Shrinking Schengen. Europe is bidding a slow but steady farewell to passport-free travel.
Staring out over France and Germany from the vine-covered hills of Schengen, a village at the southern tip of Luxembourg, it is hard to tell where one country ends and the other begins. That is in no small part thanks to a deal signed there in 1985, which committed the Benelux countries, France and Germany, to abolish the frontiers separating them. The Schengen passport-free travel area has since grown to include most of the 450 million citizens of the European Union's 27 countries, and some neighbours too. Keen to capture the mysterious essence of Euro-federalism, a trickle of tourists still flock to the village where it all started, as Charlemagne did this week. Alas, visitors face three kinds of disappointment. First, a museum celebrating the agreement is currently under renovation. Second, the village has turned into a Saudi prince's fantasy. With just a few hundred inhabitants, it has eight sprawling petrol stations in its vicinity, serving motorists keen to fill their tanks before leaving low-tax Luxembourg. And finally, and most distressingly, the freedom of travel that put the place on the map is steadily being chipped away, a symbol of the EU's success at bringing countries together, risks succumbing to reinvigorated nationalism across the bloc. Starting this week, Schengen will have a Germany-shaped hole at its heart. On September 16th, Europe's most populous country opted out of passport-free travel by reintroducing controls at all its borders, initially for a period of 6 months, but probably for longer. To those committed to an ever closer union, this raising of drawbridges in a country that sits squat in the middle of the continent bodes ill for one of the EU's signature achievements. On the ground, to be sure, little seems to have changed. Wandering on foot across the Moselle into Saarland on the first morning the new measures were in place, your columnist saw no sign of border posts. They have long since been removed. Germany has promised targeted checks that will not disrupt the many workers who commute across borders. Woe betide anyone inconveniencing a Luxembourgeois asset manager on his way back from the office. Still, the new measures are yet another blow to a system that has endured 1,000 cuts and may not be able to withstand many more. Like other European grand projets, such as the euro or the single market, Schengen requires each national government to trust that their counterparts in the Union are doing the right thing. Increasingly, they do not. This is particularly true when it comes to migration, which worries voters, and thus politicians, from Athens to Dublin. Germany reintroduced restrictions not because it worries about Danes or even Frenchmen visiting, rather it has lost faith in its neighbours' policing of their own borders, their propensity for letting in migrants from farther afield, who then make their way to Germany. This highlights Schengen's central flaw. The implicit deal, when internal frontiers were abolished in 1995, was that those countries bordering non-EU countries would have to police them assiduously in a way that others could count upon. That is only occasionally true. Nearly 400,000 illegal crossings into the EU occurred in 2023, the highest since a wave of migration in 2015-16. Once in the Schengen zone, migrants can travel uncontrolled wherever they please. Often that means making their way from a poorer country, like Italy, to a richer one, like Germany. A continued flow of migrants that authorities are powerless to do much about is fertile ground for hard-right politicians, who are keen to denounce both migrants and the EU. The German Schengen measures come after a surge in support for the Alternative for Germany, a xenophobic party that has done well in recent state elections. In theory, Germany could enforce the safeguards to Schengen that already exist. irregular migrants, found to have travelled across European internal borders, can be sent back to the first EU country in which they set foot, which has to either grant them asylum or send them back to their place of origin. In practice, the system doesn't work. The countries meant to take back migrants, such as Italy, Greece, and Hungary, say they cannot cope with migration flows outside their control. The bolstering of Frontex, a pan-European border force, since 2016 has thus far made only a marginal difference. A wide-ranging migration pact, agreed last year, is meant to improve matters, for example by building facilities at the EU's borders to process irregular arrivals quickly, and thus send many of them home before they can travel on to places like Germany. But the implementation is at least 2 years away. German national elections, in contrast, are next year. Thus, the last straw solution for frustrated interior ministers, reintroducing border controls within Europe. This goes against the spirit of Schengen and indeed some of its formal rules. In theory, suspensions of passport-free travel are authorised only for up to 6 months. In practice, some countries like France and Denmark have quietly accumulated years of such temporary restrictions. Many fear Germany will do the same. The EU authorities in Brussels ought to protest, but have tacitly allowed countries to reimpose controls in the hope of preserving the system. Seen from Luxembourg, the raising of the German drawbridge seems manageable for now. Leon Glodon, the country's interior minister, and for many years mayor of a town just up the road from Schengen, bordering Germany, says that EU member states should ideally refrain from unilateral measures, even temporary ones. Luxembourgeois authorities are working with their German counterparts to prevent traffic blockages. It is an irritant, but far from the hard German border he remembers from his childhood, which has long since been forgotten. If I tell my children about border posts now, they think I lived in the 19th century.